The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 9. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said: about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." The disciples said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, the gospel lesson which was just read, The sermon title is, You Can't Get Something for Nothing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't get something for nothing. That's one of two basic principles that drives the budget battle in Congress almost every year. The other basic principle is the general welfare of the people. The U.S. Constitution says in its preamble that one of the purposes of government is the general welfare. But who's going to pay for it? That's the question. Will the rich, the middle class, our children? Somebody will have to pay for it because you can't get something for nothing. Jesus broke all the basic principles of politics when he fed 5,000 men along with many women and children by the Sea of Galilee late one afternoon. He not only looked after the general welfare of the people, but they also got something for nothing. Nobody had to pay for the great food that they had that day. And it started with just 5 loaves of bread, barley, and 2 fish. And when they were all done, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. The feeding of the 5,000 did not stop with the end of our gospel. In chapter 15, 32 to 39, the evangelist Matthew reports another incident in which Jesus fed 4,000 men, along with many women and children. And this feeding occurred on top of a mountain in a region of Galilee. In that case, 7 loaves and a few fish were found. And after feeding everyone, 7 large baskets were filled with the leftovers. Now, free food at that sort of level was bound to have political repercussions, and it did. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, St. John reports that after the feeding of the 5,000, quote, those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. That's John 6, 14 to 15. John continues the story a few verses later with these words. I quote at length. On the following day, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. John 6, 22 to 35. From the reports in John's gospel, we can see that the feeding of the 5,000 was both political and controversial. The people that witnessed these miracles wanted to make Jesus their king. Their friends and neighbors wanted him to give them free bread always, and they wouldn't have to work. They had in mind some type of welfare state where they really could get something for nothing. They knew, they had seen, that Jesus could multiply food endlessly, and that is why many people followed him. It is most likely that the crowds welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday also had similar thoughts in mind. They wanted him to be their king so he could always give them free bread. From the reports in John's Gospel, we can also see that Jesus refused to perform these feeding miracles more than once or twice. What he had intended as a gift of hospitality and a compassion turned into something ugly and political. Since the people could not accept his gift without threatening him, he stopped providing the gift. When he tried to teach them that he was the real gift, that is, the real manna from heaven, they turned away and left him. They didn't want him. They wanted the bread. This is the best explanation why the people did not intervene during Jesus' trial, but the people called out, "Crucify him." They resented the fact that he could always give them free bread, but he refused to do so. This spirit of resentment against Jesus for his refusal to provide bread arose again in the 19th century in what is known as the socialist movement. As a case in point, we think of the Welshman Robert Owen, one of the founders of socialism and the organizer of the New Harmony Colony in the far southwest corner of Indiana, not far from where my previous call was. In his later life, Owen saw his political economic system as a new religion. He saw it, quote, as the most glorious religion the world has seen, the religion of charity unconnected with faith, which would supersede all former moral and religious instruction. Thus, his writings resound with phrases from the Bible and are filled with religious images. Another 19th century socialist who believed that Jesus and the church had failed to live up to their charitable potential was the Frenchman Count Claude Henri Saint-Simon. His book, New Christianity, attempted to strip Christianity of all of its doctrine, piety, worship, and superstition, and replace it with a political gospel of care for the poorest members of society. This became known in America as the social gospel, whose most prominent exponent was Walter Rauschenbusch. His book, A Theology of the Social Gospel, was published in 1917 and is still read in Protestant seminaries today. Now, lest you think this is past history, Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, reports that in the 21st century, many of the largest Protestant churches show evidence of significant influence by the social gospel. And these are listed as examples. The larger ones, the American Baptist Churches USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, the Episcopal Church USA, and the United Methodist Church. Now, your friends and relatives who are members of these churches may not personally hold to the social gospel or even know about it, but the leaders, professors, and many or maybe most of the pastors in those church bodies do. If Jesus was here today, they would want him to give free bread to the poor always. Our church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, avoids making pronouncements about political and economic issues. Although we as a synod are involved in charity and disaster relief, we know those activities are not the gospel. We know that Jesus rebuked and rebuffed those who would make him king in exchange for a continuous supply of free bread. We know why Jesus came. We know and confess that Jesus came down from heaven to give himself as a ransom from sin, death, and the devil. He came to give you and all believers the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation through holy baptism. Jesus came to give you his body and blood in his supper, so that you can regularly receive the forgiveness of sins and life eternal. This supper is the free, life-giving bread that Jesus gives to you always. Here you can really get something for nothing. Here you can receive eternal life as God's free gift to you. May you always seek the true manna that endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.